on clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. Welcome to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Current weather is 85 degrees, winds out of south-southwest, 12 miles an hour. We're out of the southwest now instead of the southeast, so it's going to warm up. Dew point is 69. It feels like 87 degrees, so it's hot and humid out there today. We got a lot to do on the show today. Zach Henderson, our brand new sheriff in town from Beckham County, and when I say sheriff, I'm talking about at the OSU Extension office, not across the street at the courthouse. For don't anybody start calling Sheriff Manning, goes, did you quit? Zach Henderson's in the shop with me today, and we got lots to do. One other thing. Guess who just opened their meat store up today? And I'm very excited. 66 Meat Processing over in Sayre. Brian and Bailey Jackson got her open today. Did you know that?
Really?
Yep, it's open today. I seen her this morning when I was coming to work. I stopped at the store to get some fuel, and she walked in, and she had a big smile on her face, and she could just tell that she was happy about something, and I found out what it is. So you guys go see them. They are some of the nicest people that you'll ever meet. And so I'm really super excited for them. They've been working really hard to get open. And today they're open from 10 to 6, tomorrow 8 to 12, starting Monday 8 to 5, 5 days a week for sure. I don't know what they're going to do on Saturdays. I forgot to ask her. But anyway, they got beef, pork, chicken, seafood up front in the retail part. The processing thing should open Monday or Tuesday. I think she told me they had one more inspection left, but they were pretty secure about it. So go see them at Route 66 or 66 Meat Processing. Great job, Brian and Bailey. You guys have done a good job. And like I said, you guys are some of the – I've stopped by there a couple times just to see how it's going, and you guys are some of the nicest people in the world. So thankful for you guys for opening that up in Sayre. Looks like our hay growers around the listening area are cutting down another round of alfalfa. Did you see that out there, Zach?
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of hay going down. Some of them are on cut number 3. Some of them are on cut number 4. I know I'm getting ready next week to cut mine down on – mine will be number 3, but I've had some animal and bug issues with mine.
Right. I mean, it just in our personal operation, we're breaking personal records, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yep. So
it's been a good year for hay.
Yep. It's been a great year for hay. I've had a question that's been asked to me numerous times since we started the show, and this is the end of week number 5 for me, and I'm still employed. And the pots that they had going out there on me around Sayre and telling how long I would last at this job. They're losing money right now, and I'm so happy. But one of their questions is there's a lot of people listening that are actually not farmers and ranchers. But the question is, what's the life cycle of a cow from start to finish? So I wrote up this little article to read to you guys, and it's the journey of raising beef is amongst the most complex of any food, due in part to their changing nutritional needs throughout their lifetime. The beef life cycle is from pasture to plate. First of all, raising beef begins with ranchers who maintain a herd of cows that give birth to calves once a year. When a calf is born, it typically weighs 60 to 100 pounds, and hopefully we're in the 60-pound range, right? Because them 100-pounders usually have to have assistance. Over the next few months, each calf will live off its mother's milk and graze on grass pasture. Weaning. Calves are usually weaned from their mother's milk at 6 to 10 months of age when they weigh between 450 to 700 pounds. These calves continue to graze on grass pastures and may begin receiving a small amount of supplemental plant-based food for extra energy and protein to keep them, to help them grow and thrive. Stocking. After weaning, cattle continue to grow and thrive by grazing on grass and pastures, with ranchers providing supplemental feed, including vitamins and minerals, to meet all their nutritional needs. Livestock auction markets. Here we go. This is where the money starts getting in here. After weaning and during the stocker and backgrounder phase, cattle may be sold at the livestock auction markets, or as some do around here, they follow it all the way through the feedlots to the processor. And it's, everybody's different, and whatever works for you works for you. Me, I don't follow mine through. I sell mine at the sale barn and move on, because I don't have the land to wean them and take them, keep them around. So then they go to the feed yard, as most people say. Mature cattle are often moved to feed yards. Here, cattle typically spend 4 to 6 months. They are free to graze at feed bunks containing a carefully balanced diet made up of roughage such as hay and grass, grains such as corn, wheat, soybean meal, and local renewable feed sources. More about that later. Veterinarians, nutritionists, and pen riders work together to provide individual care for each animal. Then we go to the packing plant. Here, once cattle reach market weight, typically 12 to 1,400 pounds, or at the ages of 18 to 22 months of age, they are sent to a packing plant, also called the processing facility. United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, inspectors oversee the implementation of safety, animal welfare, and quality standards from the time animals enter the plant until the final beef products are shipped to grocery stores and restaurants. And also, another question people have been asking me is the popular breeds of cattle. The most popular is Angus. The next popular is Charolais, then Hereford, then Simmental, then Red Angus. Here's my little thing. I like to go when we're traveling, and I go in there, and on the menu you see them saying certified Angus. I throw the waitresses for a loop when I ask them, is this certified Angus? They say, yep. I say, is it red or black? Dude, it just goes crazy.
Never thought about it. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing to do, is to mess with those waitresses, and then I tip them pretty good.
That's pretty good.
So we got a lot to do today. Zach will be back in here. We got a lot to cover with him later on, but we're going to take a break right now, and you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offers superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus, the maternal traits, and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business, and we do appreciate it.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Jancy, are you done talking?
What?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, cool. Well, welcome back to the show. Zach Henderson's in the ag room with me today. Jancy, just in case you didn't hear or remember me telling you yesterday, he is now the new director of the OSU Extension Office here in Beckham County. Tell him hi.
Hi. How are you?
How are you, Jancy?
Jancy is live reporting for us from the COBA Stock Show at Woodward, and that is the what is that? That's the Certified Oklahoma Breeders Association?
That's correct.
Cool. He knows what you're doing up there. So how's it going up there?
It's hot.
You got everything ready? You guys unloaded and situated?
We are unloaded and rinsed off and ready to go.
What's your schedule for today up there?
I don't really know, if we're being honest.
Well, you're not a very good reporter then.
It's kind of just whatever we need to do it and when we need to do it to get ready for this show tonight.
I got you. What time does the show start tonight?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. That's better. Anyway, so is there a lot of people up there?
There's not too many people here right now. I still think it's pretty early. People probably won't start filling in here until 2 or 3 o'clock.
Well, they... yeah, because your dad is an early bird, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. I just turned it up. Yep. And then what are you showing up there? Can you tell us, can you let this secret out of the bag yet?
I can let it out of the bag. I've got a Chester Barrow, a Hamp Barrow, and a Crossbred Gilt.
And which one's going to win?
We'll have to wait and see.
Zach, you got anything to ask her about what's happening up there?
No, just good luck and tell your dad I said hi. He knows who I am.
Thank you, and I will. I'll tell him you said hi.
All right, well, we look forward, because you got a stock show tomorrow at Mountain View. Is that correct?
That's right.
You guys come home tonight and go back to Mountain View tomorrow. So can we look forward to having you in the studio Monday to let us know what all happened and stats on who won the shows and how many pigs and all that good stuff?
I will be there.
All right. Well, good luck, Jancy.
I do. Huh? I was supposed to tell you there is another Jackpot Pig Show here tomorrow morning in Woodward.
So how are you going to be in both places?
I'm not showing at this one in the morning, but I got told to announce it to you.
Oh, okay. What's the status on it? What time does it start, and how do they get a hold of anybody to enter their livestock in it?
Starts at 9:30 in the morning, and I'm sure folks will just show up here by 6 or 7. Cards will do at 9.
Okay. So is Carter going to be there?
No.
He's probably in the river fishing right now, correct? You guys are gone, and he is loose in that part of the county.
Yeah, there's no telling what that kid's doing.
All right, well, thanks for announcing that.
You're welcome.
All right, have a good day.
You too.
Bye. All right, back to you. What all you got? You got all kinds of things going on.
I do.
What about, you got some updates on the private applicator licenses, right?
I do. I get a tremendous amount of phone calls for these, for things regarding the continuing education units, which are part of the private applicator license process. Depending on what year you got your license in, whether it was 2019 or last year in 2020, if it was in 2019, you're required to get 20 of these CEU credits. I know that this has been a huge headache for producers. ODAF, the Department of Ag, hasn't done a super good job of keeping up with the records. That's something that we've tried to do at the Extension Office. The reason this is so important to have these continuing education units, and this is coming from me as a producer instead of just me, the Extension agent. I took the exam. See, the process has changed. So, before 2019, you could come into the Extension Office, you could take an open note test, open book, Scantron, bam, you got your license. In 2019, they changed that process to where you have to go to a proctored test, you get the information from us at the Extension Office, you study for about a week, and then you go take a test for about 2 hours in a closed note setting, and you're proctored the whole time. And let me tell you, it's comparable to a college final. And I'm not ragging on anybody's intelligence, but I don't think anybody really wants to do something like that. And this is an easy way to not have to take that exam again.
I got you.
So
why did they change that? To go, they went to the proctor and the closed books.
It's all government red tape, to be honest with you. So
yeah, because I just did a well control earlier this year, and that's the first time I've ever had a proctor.
Right.
It ain't cool.
And you know, I didn't get the chance. We had a cotton meeting back in March here in Beckham, and we did one over in Ouachita County. And when Greg, the former educator here, and I were driving over, I didn't say this in the Beckham County meeting. I really wish I would have. I said it in Ouachita, but I stood up and I told that story because, you know, a lot of people in the Beckham County meeting were sitting there grunting and groaning, complaining about how boring this is and stuff. And I really wanted to stand up and say, listen, it's a lot easier to sit through these two-hour meetings and go through this process and get these credits than to have to go up to Woodward and take this proctor test that you got to make a 90% on to even pass.
Yep.
So, and we're hoping to offer more opportunities even out here. I am. I'm going to get with ODAF to try to offer at least one more class for two more education units this year. You can get up to 10 in a year.
Right.
Like I was talking about with you off air before we started, we're having an early season wheat management meeting up in El Reno this next week. There's going to be four education units offered, which is huge. That's the biggest amount I've ever seen offered. Another thing, whenever you go through OSU for your CEUs, they're free.
Right.
Some of these other companies, like if you go through chemical companies and stuff like that, you got to pay for every CEU,
right,
which, you know, it's not a tremendous amount of money, but, you know, if you could just go local and go to the OSU meetings, why not take advantage of that?
Yeah, and it's free.
It's free, exactly. That's because, everybody's favorite word.
Because from talking with you, the CEUs are very important.
Yes.
And
if you don't want to have to take the exam again.
Right.
Which you don't.
So anyway, so you guys listening, now, if anybody's got a question to Zach while we're here, especially about the private applicator license and the CEUs process, you can text in. I don't take live calls, and there's a reason behind that because I have really good friends. But text in to the KECO Ag Text line at 580-225-9697. And if you got any questions at all about any of this we discussed today and why he's here, we'll scan the texts to make sure it's readable, and we'll ask the questions. No big deal. So you're listening to Today at Ag on 96.5 KECO, and I have Zach Henderson, the new OSU County Extension agent. I call you guys officers.
Yeah.
But he's the new county agent here in Beckham County. You just tell everybody, if somebody missed the show, we had you on here about 3 weeks ago, where are you from?
Yeah, so originally, I say I'm from this area, went to school in Hobart. My family ranches south of Sayre. We run about a 400-head cow-calf operation and also raise around 600 acres of Midland 99 grass hay. So I'm pretty deeply rooted in the area. I care a lot about the area and its agriculture, and so that's why I was chomping at the bit to get this job whenever Greg decided to hang it up.
Because you were in Custer County.
Yes, I was in Custer County for about a year, and I did an internship back in college with the Extension Service in Kiowa County, and that's where I kind of fell in love with OSU Extension. And, you know, it's a great free resource. I don't think people realize how, you know, it's free. It's, you pay for it through your tax dollars. And it's free information that you can get from the university to you. You know, I think that a lot of folks don't realize that I've had people tell me I didn't even know OSU was in the county, not particularly in this county, but
right
over in Custer, especially homeowners. If anybody's listening that has tree problems, garden problems,
yard problems.
Yeah, yard problems, I'm all over it. And if I don't know, somebody in Stillwater does.
Yeah.
So take advantage of that free resource.
You know how many times I've drove through Sayre because you guys are right there on the north side of the courthouse, across the street where North Fork
in the
used
annex,
to be.
Yep.
Where North Fork used to be. And how many times I've drove by there and I've seen Greg out there testing some sorghum for somebody to make sure it ain't hot or whatever. And you guys do a wonderful job. I mean, the only thing really that I know of that I pay for is my hay and water test.
Yes. And don't think that we're making any money off of that. That's just strictly that's strictly to get it to Stillwater to be tested. So
yeah, because it's not expensive.
No, it's not. And I mean, a basic analysis of soil is only $10, and I mean that'll give you your pH level, nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus. And I mean that's huge, especially in farming, to know those.
Yeah, because everything's become more important now.
Yes.
You know, farming has changed so much from like the 70s till now, you know, especially since a lot of people are went to no-till. And then now some people are easing back into the conventional way, you know. And it's interesting watching ag.
It changes every day.
I got this article I'm going to read after you and I get done about robotics and the tractors. There's people going to be at Sayre or Elk City or Clinton or down Hobart. They're going to be playing golf while their tractor's doing the plow.
I know. That's what I've, you know, I think I talked about this with you the first time. My grandpa, we bought a self-propelled Swather years ago, whenever that first came out, and I rode on it for the first time. I got off of it, and he just shook his head and said, "Son, this isn't farming." Just sitting there, just while its GPS is driving it, and I realistically think there may be a Swather one of these days that I just press a button on my phone and it just heads to the field.
Oh, it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming. So anyway, well, we're going to take a break. And like I said, if you guys got any questions at all for Zach on this, while he's on the show today, on that private applicator license update or the CEU process, you need to take advantage of these CEUs he's got that's coming up in that meeting. We'll talk about that early season meeting after the break. But anyway, you're listening to Jimmy Clark on Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July 30th. 905 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 228 brought 540. 8 at 471 brought 180. 9 at 559 brought 163. 10 at 623 brought 168.50. 3 at 682 brought 142. 18 at 737 brought 143.75. 6 head of heifers at 252 brought 214. 10 at 469 brought 150.50. 6 at 563 brought 134.50. 15 at 673 brought 144.75. 4 at 914 brought 128. 850, 12 at 941 brought 128.75. Butcher cows were 25 to 87. Bred cows 760 to 1410. Butcher bulls 50 to 106. Pairs brought 1225 to 1500. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm trying to duplicate him talking, but I can't get that Gunsmoke voice talk. You know, he sounds like somebody off Gunsmoke. But anyway, so welcome back to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. I got Zach Henderson from the Beckham County OSU Extension Office here. He is our new agent. And we got a question come in on the text line. Explain who needs the private applicator's license.
So anybody that uses herbicides such as 2,4-D, dicamba, paraquat, anything along those lines that you would need a private applicator license to purchase from companies like Helena, DuPont, stuff like that. So that you need that license to purchase those certain things. Mm. So cotton producers, it's very important for them to have.
Right, I could see that.
These licenses.
Yeah, because I'm not going to go use paraquat on my alfalfa.
Right. It's really aimed towards cotton producers, but there are certain other things that are limited to having these licenses.
Well, you talked about the requirements changed back in 2019.
Yes.
So has that helped since they went to the proctor test, has that helped with the drift issues that were coming, that were happening before then, you know, with chemical applicators, overspray?
I don't know that it's particularly helped. That's something that we really hit on big in our CEU meeting. That's something that's extremely important. You know, it's a problem that we have. It's a huge problem. And, you know, we hit on it in our last CEU meeting, and as important it is, we'll probably hit on it again.
Right, because it's important, because I said on one of my earlier shows, if you follow the labels and you're licensed to apply that, it's also your job to keep it within on your property.
Yes, sir, because I've gotten phone calls from homeowners that lived out in the country, and some of that 2,4-D drifted over on their tomatoes, and that's a broadleaf. Goodbye, tomatoes.
Yeah, and we don't even want to touch on the marijuana deal.
No.
I mean, we can a little bit. Quentin Elliott from Elk City Farmers Co-op was in here a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, his liability is $1 million, and that won't even cover a marijuana deal, so he just stays away from them.
We had a conversation with some of our people in Stillwater on how to advise folks with that, because a lot of these grow houses are being built on property lines near, you know, where drift can really affect them.
Right.
I mean, you got to be extra careful, because, I mean, it's one of those deals that, you know, you drift over on your tomatoes, your neighbor's tomatoes, you make it right with them, you drift over onto another crop, you know, some beans or something, which I don't want to grow soybeans here, but, you know, something like that. You make the hit the insurance and claim it, but we don't know what will happen if you drift over onto a grow house. You know?
Because they got circulation fans growing or air conditioning units going, and they're going to suck whatever comes.
It'll definitely marijuana is a broadleaf. It'll definitely kill it. What I mean is just the repercussions of of the folks that are dealing with that. Yeah. We don't know what they could do.
Who's going to be that adjuster?
Yeah, I don't know. So,
but you know, there's, and I'm sure the. Ever since those, since they changed that 2019, I'm guessing or betting that drift complaints are probably down.
Yes,
and they, but it's because just like me, that paraquat, that's some mean stuff.
Yes, it is.
But and you need to know what you're doing when
you
apply.
So I gotta have a license to have it.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal, because you know, last week, a week ago last Monday, Chad Rifto and Bandy Silk was in here, and we was talking to Dr. Griffin at K-State, and Chad hit on something that I remembered what he said, and that's very unusual with me and Chad, because we blow each other off pretty good, just like, I don't pay no attention to what he says. But he did say, he said, you know, farming cotton, that they communicate with each other if they farm cotton next to each other to have the right cottons there. So if they're spraying this on this, it ain't going to hurt that cotton over there if there is drift.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a huge concern.
That's a huge. So next week in El Reno, you got a big meeting coming up.
We do. We're having an early season wheat management meeting. Some of the folks that are going to be speaking are Dr. Amanda Silva, who's our small grain specialist up at OSU. She's in charge of all of our demo and replicated plots. Throughout the state. Over in Custer, actually did three of them this last year, had a pretty decent turnout at those. It's a great opportunity for, I'm touching on the demo plot thing now, but something I'd like to do here in Beckham County, we can bring out about 20 varieties of up-and-coming wheat varieties and some of the things that are used, you know, around that are staples in the area as well, and we can kind of compare them, you know, and see how they do in this country, because there are a few new ones that I'm extremely excited about for cow-calf producers grazing in the fall, putting out way more forage than some of the ones in the past. And I definitely am. I'm looking for somebody that has more of a public place that I could possibly put this plot. If anybody out there is interested in that, give me a shout at the extension office. It's not a very big plot. It doesn't cover a very big area. And, of course, you get the wheat at the end of it, so you're not losing any cropland. So, but it's a great experience, and it's great for our producers. I'd love to be able to do it. We do it over in Ouachita County.
Where do you do it down there?
It's in Sentinel. I'm not entirely sure. Again, it just started, so, but I know it's near Sentinel. Right. That's all I know about it.
Probably on Jimmy Music, if I was guessing right.
I think that is it, actually.
Yeah, because he's on the Wheat Commission board.
Yep.
because he just came in. He was in here last Friday, and they just got back from Farm Credit of Western Oklahoma trip up there, and you know, and Jimmy's big into wheat. Well, Jimmy's big into cotton, wheat, and alfalfa, yeah. But he's big boy on the wheat board,
right?
And he's very enjoyable to talk to,
right? Anyway, back to this meeting. We're going to have a few other specialists here. West District agronomist Josh Bashong, who helps me out in the West District with all of our agronomy problems. And also Dana Zook, who is our livestock specialist, will be there to talk about, you know, winter grazing and stuff like that on it. It's going to be a great opportunity for just some good information. And like I said before, that's four CEUs, which is huge. If you know anything about the private applicator deal, most of the ones I offer have one to two CEUs. This one has four. So, I mean, you're knocking out a huge chunk of your yearly CEUs right there.
Yeah.
So
that's quite a bit.
Yep.
And then they're going to be talking did you say somebody from the beef deal was going to be there?
Well, she's our livestock specialist.
Yeah, Who is that?
Dana Zook. She's our livestock specialist for the West District of Oklahoma. So she covers everything west of I-35.
She's got a big area.
Yeah. Well, there's two area livestock specialists. She's an extension. About, I don't remember, 3 or 4 years ago, they split Southwest and Northwest and just made them one district.
Right.
So they realigned some of these area specialists. So we still have two area livestock specialists. So.
And who's the other one?
Marty New, and he's out of Chickasha at the Chickasha Research Center.
Is he? So what do they do down there?
They're just different types of crop research, different types of beef research, things along those lines.
Do they ever do anything out here, or do they just do it all right
We
there?
Have a research station at Bessie that's devoted strictly to beef cattle.
Is that right?
So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't even know that either until I got moved over here. But I'm excited to – Marty's coming out sometime soon, and we're going to go tour it, and you're going to talk a little bit about it. I'm going to try to do some beef cattle management and some beef nutrition stuff there at that research station. I think that'd be great.
Oh, yeah. When you come out, give me a shout.
Yeah, I will.
And if he's got time, bring him by.
Yeah, yeah, I'll try to. If I can, I can get you his contact information. You can get him on. They're a wealth of knowledge. They know so much. They're a great resource for everybody.
I've seen some articles from Marty, so it's pretty good. So,
yep.
But they well, you're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. And I have Zach Henderson in the red room with me today, and we're just talking agriculture, a lot of OSU stuff, because he's in here all dressed up in OSU stuff, and I knew I should have brought my OU stuff in today. you got a lot more stuff though. You got a lot of you've been here what, a week now? This day number five.
This is day number five.
And
for
you
me here
got
in
a file over there about 3/4 of an inch thick that he's planning for 4-H development. Let's talk about it, because I love my 4-H people.
Right. So hold on just a second. Let me find my stuff here.
The only one that I've got to text in, besides the gentleman about the chemical deal, is my wife, and she says, Ruby says, hi, Jimmy. That's the granddaughter.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think that when people think of 4-H, because, I mean, other than being the ag educator, that's something new that I've taken, a new role I've taken on here in Beckham, is being the 4-H educator also. And, you know, when people think of 4-H, I think a lot of folks just think of just showing livestock, and that's about all it's limited to. But, I mean, it's such a broad program that we offer all sorts of things. You know, I just brought kind of a list of a few different things that we offer in 4-H. Animal science, ATV, civic engagement, design and construction, environmental science, communications, leadership, nutrition, health and science, personal development, plant science and entomology, science and technology, STEM programs in general, and shooting sports, which we have a fantastic shooting sports program here in Beckham County.
You got some people up there in Illinois that's been up there almost 2 weeks right now. And so far what I've gathered off social media, because they're being awful quiet, not because they're doing bad, is they're doing good. One of the girls from Merritt, she came in on the individual deal on the high school deal, mm-hmm. 6 out of 600.
Wow.
That's in the nation. And then Monty Tucker's son, mm-hmm. from out with the Sarah Sweetwater area, he also, on the male part, the boys part, he come in 6 out of 600. So 6 seems to be a lucky number. And 6 ain't first place, but dude,
that's
pretty good. So, yeah, you're shooting, and I follow your shooting sports a lot.
I can't sit here and take any credit for it since I'm new. That's all Monty and some of those other guys, but I'm sure excited about it. It's a great program, and And I hope to help build on it in any way that I can, because it sure is a great thing.
They need all the help they can with all the stuff going on. NRA's got their hands tied.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're lucky that we can supply them with stuff.
Sure.
And it's a great deal. But, everybody's watching kids and guns. It don't sound like a good combination. But what else is you guys supported them on the shooting range up there, didn't you?
Yeah, to my knowledge, we did.
You did, good. You got stock shows coming up, too.
We do.
Well, as you talked to Jancy. Jancy's this is pretty cool. I hadn't been here a month. Now I got a field reporter, and I don't have to pay her.
We can send her to the county fair, because I'm going to be way too busy during that to talk to you.
she's going to be there.
But anyway, yeah, we've got, like I said, I'm also in Ouachita County part-time, so we got the Ouachita County Fair coming up 25th through the 27th. And our Beckham County Fair here is going to be on the 9th through the 11th of September. All hopefully full steam ahead right now. I know that there's unfortunately been some rumblings of COVID stuff, but, can't. That's out of our control. We're hoping and praying that we're not going to have to cancel anything.
So you get paid overtime?
Definitely not.
Yeah, because you're still doing Custer too, right?
I am. Well, I'm helping out in Custer as far as, I'm doing soil forage and water reports and if somebody calls in with just a general ag question, I'll help them out.
Right.
It's not anything to the scope of what I'm doing in Beckham and Ouachita County, but trying to help them out till they get somebody new.
Got some big shoes to fill over here for Greg at that stock show.
I know it. It's going to be a challenge. It's funny. I did this purposefully last year. I started in September over in Custer County, and I started a week after the county fair happened. Did that on purpose. I'm not going to get away with it this time.
You're not. So what? How do people get a hold of you how do the people get a hold of you? Because you're running two different offices now.
Give me just a second here. I don't have the number memorized because I just got there.
It's 580-928-3-2139
over in Beckham.
Yep.
And then I'll have to look up the Ouachita one here. Give me just a second here. I'm only in Ouachita, by the way, just one day a week. On Wednesdays. So, and the phone number over at the Ouachita County office is 580-832-3356. Another good way to get a hold of me, I check my email quite often, is Zach, and that's Z-A-C-K. A lot of folks spell it with an H. Yeah. I always like to spell that out.
Zach.
Zach.Henderson@okstate.edu. Just shoot me an email, and I'll get back to you just as quick as I can.
Got anything else we want to cover?
I think that's about it right now.
Well, I just got a text in on, must be listening on the app, our Paragon Communications app. Anyway, Miss Barnett, the shooter from Merritt we were just talking about, she is the 2021 Handicap Championship Junior Lady Champion of the United States.
Wow, way to go. That's awesome.
She's probably at the AIM. It's the AIM.
Yep.
But I think Paul Hightower's big boss for Oklahoma for that now.
Yep.
He's a legend.
Yeah. I know Paul. Yeah.
He's a legend in this area. Yep. But thanks for texting that in there, Mr. BJ. Appreciate that. I guess you're proud of your daughter. You wouldn't have sent that to me, and I'm proud of her too. But anyway, when you got some stuff coming up and you want to announce, just come on by, and because OSU Extension Office is important, like you said, because basically you do the hay testing, you do the soil testing, you do the water testing, you see if any of these high gears or Sudans or millets are hot, they stop by their office and you test them right out there on the back of their truck.
Yep.
And you're also a kind of an ag teacher for the 4-H.
Yeah, I am. I'm a jack of all trades at that deal. So.
Well, welcome back to Beckham County.
Yep.
And a lot of people are glad you're back.
Yep.
And that you're taking over. We're going to miss Greg. Greg, if you're listening, we're going to miss you. Don't worry. And I met Greg at the stock shows. I moved back in 2008, and I started going back to the stock shows, and I met Greg back then. But anyway, welcome back, and thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely. Happy to be here, Jimmy.
All right. See you later.
All right.
We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley Iconex. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, August 3rd, we sold 676 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, August 5th, we sold 3,915 calves and feeders for a total of 4,591 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 86 to 92.50, with our thin cows bringing 48 to 75.5. Bulls bring 74 to 109. 2 to 8-year-old bred cows, 775 to 1,200, with our 9 and older bred cows, 9, 10 to 1,100. 2 to 4-year-old pairs, 1,300 to 1,600. And our 9 and older pairs, $1,275. 100 steer cattle, 4 steers weighing 303, bring 221. 350 to 4-weight steers, 186 to 207. 5 to 550, 167 half to 179. 6 to 650, 160 to 170. 7 to 750, 145 to 158 and a half. 8 to 850, 142 to 155. 9 to 950, 140 and a half to 148. 1,000, 1,050 pound steers, 132 to 139. 11 to 1150 steers, 128 to 132. We sell a string of black steers, 103 of them in one bunch, weighing 923, bring 146. That's $1,347 a head. We sell 188 steers weighing 1073, bring 135.10. That's $1,450 a head. Hunter heifers, 350 to 4-weight heifers, 160 to 172, 4 to 450, 153 and a half to 164, 5 to 550, 145 to 161, 6 to 650, 142 to 161 and a half, 7 to 750, 142 to 152, 8 to 850, 138 and a half to 146.50, 9 to 950, 130 to 135 and a half, 1,050 pound heifers, 118 to 126. Very aggressive market all the way through. You might want to cull your cows early this year. Almost always the market slips in September and October. Great feeder market with lots of our cattle going north. Again, our auctioneers on that big string of steers climbed a dime at a time, went $5 a hundred, making that guy lots of money. But this Tuesday, August the 10th, we're expecting 40 bred cows and pairs, another consignment of 30 bred cows, more by sale time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, welcome back. Great conversation with Zach. And you guys got anything, you can get a hold of him at the OSU Extension office there in Sayre for Beckham County. And he's also running the one in Ouachita County. And Western Oklahoma Votech, I did give him the information for you guys for the use of your classrooms. By the way, that facility, the Elk City Votech's facility, is state-of-the-art, top-notch, and good people. We had our Quail Forever district meeting for Western Oklahoma there last night, and it's top notch. It's got some it's clean, it's fairly new, but it's clean. The technology they have in there with computers and the screens and all that stuff is unreal. So any of you guys need to do some training, whether it's safety training or whatever for your company, get a hold of Danny out there at the Votech Center. That was really neat. We had that there last night. Forecast. It's 87 degrees still right now. It's muggy. And we got tomorrow, or today would be high for 97, so it's got a ways to go. But the wind's out of the south-southwest at 9 miles an hour, with gust up to 14 miles an hour, so it's going to get warm. Tomorrow it's going to be hot, 97 degrees. Saturday night, there's a slight chance of rain in the forecast now, but it's just 20%. So it'll be like last night, that shower popped up over there in Ouachita County and Custer County, and some guys got a quarter inch, and I seen one guy got almost an inch. It just popped up over there about dark last night, one of those cotton showers, we call it. Sunday's 97 degrees, Monday's 98, Tuesday's 98, so it's going to be warm the next 5 days, so take care of your cattle. If you're not on a creek or got a pond, solar pump or the water tanks you got going there. Make sure you check them at least once every other day, if not every day, and get your cows some shade going on, because those cattle are going to be hot here in the next week or so. The USDA will launch two new cattle pricing reports next week that will bring needed clarity to the marketplace, announced Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack on Thursday. The reports will provide more information on prices for cattle sold through the major channels such as cash, formula, and contracts. We're greeted as a significant step towards transparency in the open and in the often uptick market. Only a small fraction of cattle, about 1 in 5 head, are sold on the spot market. But cash prices are instrumental in determining payments to producers through the so-called formula sales. Four packers dominate cattle slaughter. With a limited number of buyers and comparatively few cash sales, ranch and farm groups increasingly question whether producers are getting a fair price with their market for their stock. Cattle prices are too low considering the high retail price of beef, they say. Activist groups such as RCAF USA say the solution is required to meet packers to buy at least half of their slaughter cattle on the spot market each week so the price discovery occurs in the public. Packers and some cattle producers say cash market quotas will disrupt alternative arrangements such as formula pricing that pay a premium for top quality animals. On Monday, the Agriculture Marketing Service will issue its first daily National Daily Direct Formula-Based Cattle Report showing the correlation between cash prices and formula prices, as well as premiums or discounts applied to the base prices on Thursday. The AMS will begin its National Weekly Cattle Net Price Distribution Report showing the prices and number of heads sold through negotiated grid, formula, and forward contract. Our new reports on formulas transactions will bring clarity to the marketplace, said Vilsack. Current negotiated cash trade cattle trade is approximately 30% less than it was in 2005, while formula transactions have increased at the same rate. Data for the reports was drawn for daily reports required by law of cattle sales. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association said the reports were a significant step towards increasing transparency and pricing. The addition of these new publications will allow producers to better compare their marketing arrangement to others and allow them to make more informed business decisions on their own operations. However, more must be done, said Nebraska Senator Fisher, sponsor of the bill that would require packers to buy a minimum number of cattle on the cash market in each region of the country. I continue to work to advance policies that ensure a robust cash market so all segments of the cattle market can thrive, she said. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, sponsor of the bill requiring packers to buy half of their cattle on the spot market, said the new reports were an important step forward towards transparency. I'm going to continue to work with my colleagues and all the encompassing legislation to ensure our independent producers are treated fairly. Well, speaking of some cattle, the Elk City Livestock Market's happening today, or auction's going on today. Monday, the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be happening over there east of Clinton along I-40. And if you haven't been there yet, you need to go see that place. It's state-of-the-art, and it's really nice and easy. Unload, load, and the whole nine yards, and they got good food in there last time I was in there. We'll have some numbers from Hobart, or from Elk City and Clinton Tuesday on my noon report then. Well, I've been talking about, we talked earlier about some robotics. John Deere has bought out Bear Flag Robotics, a California-based startup, founded in 2017, was acquired for them $250 million. That's a pretty good turnaround. 4 years and a couple million, now it's $250. The acquisition builds on John Deere's strategy, and Deere's Dan says this is the next step in the journey of precision ag technology, and it moves into autonomy in a very big way. They view that it's an important step forward, enabling farmers to leverage their resources strategically to feed the world and create more sustainable and profit operations. Well, there was one of the biggest challenges farmers face today is the availability of skilled labor to execute time-sensitive operations that impact farming outcomes. Autonomy, I can't even say it now, offers a safe and productive alternative to address that challenge head on. John Deere buying Beer's Flag is mission to increase global food production and reduce the cost of growing food through machine automation and align with Deere. We're excited to join the Deere team to bring this to the farms. So in other words, looks like here in about 5 or 6 years, maybe my wife will buy me a new John Deere tractor and I can run it from my iPhone while I'm playing golf. Tell you a little story about I remember back in the 80s, they started doing this automation on some pivots out there in the Texas Panhandle. And I went out there to watch this deal. And they had they had a Case tractor out there. And it was in an auto mode steer going around and around. And they didn't take him for a fact that there was a mud hole out there. And that tractor hit that mud hole. And by the time we could get over there and kill that tractor, it was buried. It was way before front wheel assist. The rear end of that thing was 3-4 foot down in the mud, and it was just spinning, and we got it shut off. So things have come a long way since then. Like I said, that was back in the early 80s. But I hope you guys are enjoying the show, and I just wanted to touch on this. Right across the road, our favorite place to get burgers, Big Splash Burgers, is having its 10th anniversary bash August 14th, free concert by Alanis Aquarius at 7 p.m. Parking will be in the United parking lot because the band will be in Big Splash's parking lot. It starts at 6 o'clock. There'll be a professional face painter there, free food and shirts while supplies last. And them guys were on here yesterday on the Backroad Show with Drew. He's good. They're both good. They were both on here, and they're really good. So you guys need to come to that bash. Well, I hope everybody has a great weekend. I'll be back Monday at the same time. I hope you're enjoying the show. And like I said, if you got anything you guys want to ever talk about, shoot me a text at the text line, 580-225-9697. And if there's something you guys want to talk about on the air, just let me know. I'm good for it. But I want you guys to have a great weekend. I've got to hurry up and get this show over with. I got 48 more bales of hay to haul in this heat with the truck, so I need to go get that done. Have a great weekend, and God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.